Just as we come to the conclusion of our carol service, I want to read four more verses of Scripture in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1. And I want to speak this evening on Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, just reading four verses from verse 5. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, and so on and so forth, we go on to read about the marvelous story of how the angel appears and how the Lord is pleased to give to this family a little one. And so with the word of God before us, we'll bow briefly in prayer. Almighty God, we worship thee. We thank thee for this meeting tonight, for your presence, for all that has been done to your name, for your glory. We pray that Christ, as a result, will be exalted. We do fall before him, and we worship him, our dear Savior, tonight. We pray that all the ministry that we've listened to will be a blessing at this Christmas time, and that we will be drawn in our hearts to think of him who came, the Savior of men, into this world 2,000 years ago. And as we think about your word tonight and think about Elizabeth, and seek to draw some lessons that are appropriate and suited to this meeting, Lord, bless us, we pray, and settle our minds and hearts down into these closing minutes, and grant us the help of God, the infilling of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Certain characters are associated with the incarnation, the coming of Christ into the world. Individuals, not many, who featured prominently at that time when Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, came into this earth. Luke chapter 1 gives us a lengthy account of four of these individuals. We have Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. We have the Virgin Mary herself, that blessed vessel that God chose to bring his Son into the world. And we have John the Baptist, who was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb and is duly born. This is the only time in the Bible where Elizabeth is mentioned. Elizabeth is the Greek rendering. We have the Hebrew equivalent, Elisheba. And the name means, "My God has sworn." I think it appropriate tonight, as we have had the dedication and the little girl has been named officially tonight, got the official name, I'm sure, when that name was given just after she was born, but in a very public way tonight, dedicated to the Lord, and the name, of course, Elizabeth, presented to us. I thought it very appropriate to think about this name, Elizabeth, and it ties in very, very nicely with the whole story of the incarnation, the coming of our Savior into the world. To think about this godly character that we come across in the Bible. And so I'm going to set just a few thoughts before you in the close of the service. I want you to think about her background. We're told here that she was of the daughters of Aaron. The gospel writer Luke, by the inspiration of God, is able to write about her ancestry and traced back, as it were, her pedigree. In fact, here is a married couple who have a profound lineage. They were both from Aaron's priestly family. God had chosen the Levites and the house of Aaron to be special servants, to function in the office of the priesthood. And they were given certain responsibilities regarding the care of the tabernacle and its work. This included the offering of various animal sacrifices. These sacrifices taught the people about the penalty for sin. Sin demanded death, and also prefigured Jesus Christ in the fact that he gave himself as that once and for all time sacrifice for our sin. During the reign of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, we also learn that some of the priests, Levites, and leaders within the kingdom went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 9 tells us that. And then furthermore, in Malachi 2, verses 4 to 7, we have it affirmed that the Levites and the priests had been chosen by God to teach in his name. And so this married couple were intimately connected with the priestly line whose responsibility it was to offer those sacrifices for sin, pointing to the work of the Redeemer, and to teach faithfully the ways of God. And as we shall see, Zacharias and Elizabeth had faithfully kept the covenant of their God, upholding his name, speaking his truth, and walking in all the commandments of God. As I thought about that, I thought, what a privilege. What a privilege for children to be brought up in such an atmosphere, to have such a splendid ancestry, to be connected with the godly line where Christ is presented and the ways of God are taught. I'm thankful personally for my godly upbringing. My father, by his life and by his words, led me in the ways of Christ. My mother had a sweet spiritual influence upon my life. My mother dedicated me to the Lord. We have had a little one dedicated to the Lord, and in a very special way, because I was the fifth child and the first son. And so I think when four daughters were born, they were just longing, if it pleased the Lord, that a son would be born, that I was dedicated to the Lord in a very special way. I was prayed over. I was wept over. I was taught in the things of God. I was brought to the house of God. And what a privilege that was. If you are a child of godly parents, you want to thank the Lord for that. If you are a child of the manse or a child of the eldership, don't despise the upbringing that you have been given. And don't take for granted the privilege that is involved there. God placed you into a family. And in that family, you were given special privileges of the gospel to be brought up under the sound of divine truth. And certainly Elizabeth had that background because she was of the daughters of Aaron. We also see her spiritual standing. Both of these individuals, this married couple, are described as being righteous before God. And here's something that ought to make you sit up and to think. Just to stop for a moment in this service and to consider what is being said here. There's nothing more important than this. To be righteous before God. To be right in his sight. The scripture is clear about what we are from birth. We are unrighteous. We have no goodness of ourselves. Our nature is one of depravity. We believe in the depravity of man, the total depravity of man. We believe that man is very well pictured in the opening chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there's nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And so that picture that is presented there aptly illustrates what we are in a spiritual state before God. We are totally depraved from head to toe. Well, did Isaiah declare, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And Paul, in his doctrinal epistle to the Romans, he said, there's none righteous, no, not one. Elizabeth came into this world just like everybody else. She came into this world a sinner, condemned and unclean, without one righteousness that would make her acceptable in the sight of God. She had a good family. She had a wonderful background. She had a tremendous heritage. No doubt there were many privileges that came with all that. But it did nothing for her spiritually or eternally. Now, it gave her advantages. But that's all. Didn't make her right. Didn't make her right in the sight of a holy God. It mattered not that she was of the daughters of Aaron. It mattered not that she was the wife of a notable priest. It mattered not that she had a good name. Elizabeth, like everyone else, was born in sin. She was separated from God. She was without righteousness. And so something had to happen to change all that, to bring her from that natural state of sin and condemnation to that spiritual and eternal state of being righteous before God. And that's where the work of redemption and salvation comes in, that changes a man's life, that forgives that man, that pardons that man, and declares him to be righteous or right in the sight of God. This indeed was her spiritual standing. I wonder, have you that standing tonight? Can you say, preacher, I'm righteous before God? Not because of something that you have done. We've seen how the Bible shows us clearly that it's nothing that we can do to make us righteous. It's what another has done. It's what Christ has done on our behalf. It is through the work of salvation and redemption that we are brought into this right standing with God and declared to be righteous. Is that you tonight? Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? Elizabeth did. Then we have her testimony. Did you notice the words, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless? This is a clear-cut testimony to her godly character. This is how she walked, before God and before man. Walking before God's important, how God sees us, and this is how she walked before heaven. And then as other people watched her life and looked on, this is how she was seen. These were the kind of parents God chose to be the parents of John the Baptist. Elizabeth was justified. She was closely associated with the priestly line, pointing, of course, to Christ. She was holy. She was obedient. She was reverent. She was one with a blameless testimony. God not only showed mercy to Elizabeth in granting a child, but more importantly, he knew that Elizabeth would teach John in the right way and bring him up in the fear and the admonition of God. The godly upbringing of John that he received, no doubt, helped to mold and to make his life under God into the man that he became. It undoubtedly helped him to fulfill his ministry. And what was that ministry that God had given to him? It was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, as Malachi chapter 4 tells us. And this is the kind of mother every Christian lady should aim at being. You want to have that kind of testimony in your community. You want to have this testimony before your family. You are the Bible to those who are around you. They may not read this book, but they're going to read your life. You are Christ to your perishing loved ones. And the question, therefore, is what do they see? Dear mother who walks obediently in the commandments of God, is that what they see? One who is blameless in her testimony wherever she goes. We want Elizabeth in this church. We want Elizabeth in this town. We want Elizabeth in our homes. Wives and mothers who stand out for the Lord, who love the Lord, who walk with God, who live right, who are holy and godly and blameless. It is such godly influences that produce the modern day John the Baptists or the modern day Timothys. Timothy had a similar upbringing. His children rise up and call them blessed. What a mammoth responsibility for parents to live right in this world, to train their children in the ways of God, to teach them, to lead them to Christ. I wonder, are you leading the upcoming generation to the Savior? Souls will be lost forever. The Bible shows us the condemnation of all men around us. What are we doing to rescue them from their sin and from destruction? Sadly, some mothers and fathers are poor examples. They're bad testimonies, and they're far from being blameless. I hope we will be blameless on the judgment day when we come to stand before the Lord and we reckon with Him. Then we see her anointing or her infilling. Notice there the end of verse 41. It says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. What a godly spiritual family this was. Each one of them filled with the Spirit. We read here in this text, Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit. You go on down in the chapter to verse 67, and Zacharias was filled with the Spirit. And you go back to verse 15, and we see that John the Baptist was to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And we need mothers. We need women like this today that are filled with the Spirit of God. It'll make the difference to the way that you live. It'll make the difference to the way you pray. It'll make the difference to the way you witness to others in this life. May God grant us women with such an anointing and such an infilling, the power of God resting upon them. And then we see her trial. Verse 7 tells us that they had no child. At that time in Bible days, it would have been considered a reproach to Elizabeth to be barren, not to have a seed. It would have been a personal source of grief to her. And it reminds me that even the most godly can have trials. The most obedient to the Lord can pass through difficult times. The most blameless, who have blameless testimonies in this earth, they have their difficulties. And here's a woman and she had a great trial. Maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you're carrying some burden in your heart and some great trial is pressing down upon your life tonight. And you're a godly person. Well, even the godly enter into such times as we see it here, exemplified in this woman's life. But you'll notice in the sixth place, in the final place, her blessing. And it's there in verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. This was a wonderful blessing. She was so thankful. She expressed her appreciation to the Lord for God's blessings given to her. We have that appreciation expressed in this chapter before us. It reminds us of the patriarch Abraham and his wife Sarah, who had Isaac in their old age by a miracle from God. The cases are very similar. In fact, similar phraseology is used of both Elizabeth and Sarah. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, thinking about Elizabeth. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That is associated with Sarah in Genesis 18 and verse 14. And you know, my friends, God is able. He's able to carry us through the trial and carry us through victoriously. And if it pleases Him, He's able to work miracles in our lives. He's able to bring about changes. He's able to bestow blessings that will bring great joy. And seeing the miracle that was wrought physically, we do not want to lose sight of the miracle of grace that God brings about when it comes to spiritual and eternal matters. God can give us spiritual children. What do I mean by that? I mean children that are brought to faith in Christ. Children that are saved by the grace of God, that are born again. He can bring about the miracle of the new birth, even where it seems impossible. And of course, we're dealing here with an impossible case. And God, what He did in the physical, He can do in the spiritual. And that encourages me tonight. Maybe you have a great trial with regard to an unsaved son or daughter, some family member. And tonight, As we sit together in this carol service and we're rejoicing together in the coming of the Savior, thinking about Him, your son, your daughter, your loved one, your dear friend is far away from God. And it just seems to you impossible that they could ever be retrieved and ever brought to Christ. So many years have passed by already. Instead of getting softer, they seem to be hardening themselves in their sin. And maybe you've even given up hope that they'll ever come to Christ. My friend, don't despair. As God brought about a miracle in the physical sense for Elizabeth, and she was able to bear a child, God can bring the miracle spiritually, and He can save your dear one, no matter how far gone they seem to be tonight. Oh, may we rejoice in these lessons. May we take them to heart tonight, even as we think about this character, the only place that we read about her in the Bible, here in Luke chapter 1. But what a blessing these thoughts are, and I trust they've been a blessing to you as we've shared them tonight. And if you know not the Savior, I want to close by just coming back to what we said earlier about being righteous in the sight of God. Nothing more important than that. I don't know what things occupy your mind and take up your time. I don't know those things that really involve your circumstances and what you count as your priorities. Maybe coming up now a couple of days just to Christmas, there's so many things that are important to you and your family, and rightly so. And coming to Christmas Day, maybe spending time with your family, making sure everything's ready and all the preparations that need to be made. Then there's other important matters in your mind and heart tonight. But listen, nothing is more important than you being right with God and saved by the grace of God. I just want to close by reminding you that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as you receive gifts and give gifts, and as gifts are exchanged at this Christmas time, don't forget about the greatest gift that we have in Christ. And that is life eternal. It can be yours, but you need to receive it. As you receive a gift, you need to receive the gift of God tonight, which is eternal life. May God give you the grace to do just that, to reach out by faith and say, Lord, I come and I receive the gift in Jesus' name of everlasting life. Lord, tonight I turn from my sin and from my unrighteousness, and I claim Christ to be my Savior. And I take Him tonight as my Savior and as my Lord. Lord, hear me as I call upon Your name. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for all that has gone before. Thank Thee for Your Word. Thank Thee for the lessons that we can learn from Elizabeth. We praise Thee most of all that she was righteous before God and her husband too. We thank Thee that You gave a son to that family who grew up to be a righteous young man, the forerunner of the dear Savior Himself. Oh God, we pray that amidst all the other things that are happening in people's lives tonight, this Christmas time, that they will be brought to this most important matter, their standing before a holy God. Lord, may they seek Thee. May they know what it is to be made righteous, to be declared righteous. We thank Thee that when a man repents of his sin and takes Christ as his Savior, a miracle of grace is done in his heart and life. The Lord saves him. He changes him. He declares him to be right in His sight. Lord, bring about that miracle tonight. Bring our loved ones and our friends in this meeting to the Savior. And should there be any listening in tonight in sermon audio who do not know Christ, Lord, just where they are, may they bow their head and bow their hearts before God and receive Christ as their Savior too, because we ask it in His name. Amen.